Morning, everyone. Just move this slightly this way, if that's all right. So I can move around a little bit. We're going to be looking at the story of Elisha today. So we're going to do three Bible readings in a minute from the story of Elisha. Just to encourage you, what John was just saying about Florida, things are happening there. We've been watching it quite a bit on the telly. God's also moving. We had a prayer meeting on Wednesday night at Eccles Parish Church. And just the amount of people God's drawing into soul for significant people setting up things. We had one person who was sharing who is just, there's a group who's just going out to the China-North Korea border, getting the gospel into North Korea. And they're, thanks John, and they're just setting up in Seoul for the 24/7 prayer centre based on some of the stuff from Korea in Eccles. And God's called them to place it in Eccles. Lots of other things like that are happening around the city. God's getting the city ready for the next stage of what he wants to do. And that's happening very quickly around the city. So to encourage it, it's happening in Florida, it's happening here, and expect God to do more here. And be open for what God wants to do in your life. I think what's significant about some of the things that's happening, it's a challenging time for people at the moment. God's challenging people and drawing people forward. And he's drawing them forward because he needs them in the right place for what he wants to do next. And I just believe on my heart when I'm praying, God wants to do far greater things than what we've seen here ever before. Not just here, meaning Mount Chapel, but here in our city, in our region, in our nation. Now, God wants people to come to him. And he desires for people to come to him. He's looking for his church to be ready. Because the church are called to go. Aren't we? We're the ones who call to wait for the Holy Spirit to come, the Acts of the Apostles, and then go. And so anyway, well, I'm not preaching on this morning, but just to encourage it. And I'm just going around having lots of meetings as I do, but amazing things are happening, amazing things are going to happen. Let's just read from God's Word. We're going to turn first of all to 1 Kings. These three readings. Elisha lived a long life, did some amazing things. Some of what John was talking about happening in Florida happened in Elisha's life. I don't think there's a coincidence there. I think it's a God instance of God drawing us in to study his word and saying if he's done it before, he can do it again. And so the first reading is from 1 Kings chapter 19, starting at verse 19 and reading through to verse 21. 1 Kings 19, starting at verse 19 and reading through to 21. And just as you're finding that, there's one verse just before then in 16. It says this in 16. Also you shall, this is talking to Elijah, also you shall anoint Jehu the son of Nimshi as king over Israel, and Elisha the son of Shaphat of Abel Mehohol you shall anoint as prophet in your place. Then it goes on to say from verse 19, so he departed from there and found Elisha the son of Shaphat, who was ploughing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he was with the 12. Then Elijah passed by him and threw his mantle on him, and he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, please let me kiss my father and mother, and then I will follow you. And he said to him, go back again, for what have I done to you? So Elijah turned back from him, took the yoke of oxen and slaughtered them, and boiled their flesh using the ox equipment, and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he arose and followed Elijah and served him. The second reading is just over in 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 2. Starting at verse 7. 2 Kings chapter 2, starting at verse 7. And it reads like this. This is when Elijah was being taken up into heaven. And it says this. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood facing them at a distance, while the two of them, that's Elijah and Elisha, stood by the Jordan. Now Elijah took his mantle, rolled it up, and struck the water, and it was divided this way and that, so that the two of them crossed over on dry land. And so it was, when they had crossed over, Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask, what may I do for you before I am taken away from you?" And Elisha said, "Please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me." So he said, "You have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so." Then it happened, as they continued on and talked, that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared, and horses of fire, and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Now Elisha saw it, and he cried out, my father, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen." So he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and tore them in two. He also took up the mantle of Elijah and that had fallen from him, and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. Then he took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him, and struck the water and said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And when he also had struck the water, it was divided this way and that, and Elisha crossed over. And one last reading that we're going to be looking at today, and it's 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6, starting at verse 8. 2 Kings chapter 6, starting at verse 8. And this part of the story of Elisha reads like this. Now the king of Syria was making war against Israel, and he took counsel with his servants, saying, "My camp will be in such and such a place." And the man of God sent to the king of Israel, saying, "Beware that you do not pass this place, for the Syrians are coming there." Then the king of Israel sent someone to the place which the man of God had told him. Thus he warned him, and he was watchful there, not just once or twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was greatly troubled by this thing, and he called his servants and said to them, "Will you not show me which of you is for the king of Israel?" And one of his servants says, "None, my lord, O king, but Elisha the prophet, who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom." So he said, "Go and see where he is, that I may send and get him." And it was told him, saying, "Surely he is in Dothan." Therefore he sent horses and chariots and a great army there, and they came by night and surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" So he answered, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." Then the Lord opened his eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. And so when the Syrians came down to him, Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, "Strike this people, I pray, with blindness." And he struck with them with blindness, according to the word of Elisha. What happened then was Elisha took them off somewhere else, took them into Samaria, where the king of Israel was. And the king of Israel wanted to kill them, but he said, "No, give them food." So they give them a feast and then sent them home. And Syria never again came to attack Israel. Let's just introduce this subject of Elisha. Elisha was a young man when Elijah came to him. He was a young man from a well-to-do family. He had a good background. He had good prospects. He had a good career. In those days, if you had 12 pairs of oxen, you basically had 24 oxen with ploughs. You had a lot of land if you had that many oxen. you weren't going to be short of a couple of quid, as we would say. He was well provided for. His ministry started on the day Elijah called him, and it lasted for over 50 years. He served as a prophet in the reign of six kings. That's unusual for one reason. Kings didn't always like the prophets and would kill them. Because sometimes the prophet would say to the king something the king didn't quite like. Because the prophet always spoke the truth from God. Sometimes when we get a bit of power, we don't like people telling us the truth from God. We like people to say things that we say tickles our ears and makes us feel good. But the prophets weren't like that. A true prophet told you the truth. That's what Elisha was like. Elisha was seen by the people of Israel as a type of seer, like Samuel was. Somebody who, whether you were the king or whether you were a poorer person, you could go to and they would speak into your life and would do a prophecy or do even a miraculous sign into your life. And we'll see that as we touch on a couple of the stories. That's the type of man he was. In the stories of Elisha, there's 18 episodes. It sounds like a good TV series, doesn't it? There's 18 episodes in Elisha's story in these two books. Amazing stories of this man of God and things he did, lives he touched, a country he did amazing things in. Down from a whole country and king, down to one story we'll touch on of a widow who was in debt. Thing we have today, isn't it? A lot of people have struggled with that. This lady was in debt to the point that the creditors were not going to send a bailiff round to take her furniture and possessions. They could take her two children and sell them as slaves to regain the money. And God spoke into that lady's life. We'll come to that in a bit. And what I want to say at the start of this is, here in a nutshell of the story, put it into a nutshell, was an amazing man of God who fulfilled his God-given potential. And when you read some of the stories, sometimes we can look round our situation today and we think, can God do something? And the answer back is yes, he can. He's looking for a man or a lady of God to be willing to be raised up and step into that situation and turn it around. So that's a synopsis. That's an introduction. Let's have a look at the story of Elisha. We're going to start with the first reading we did. And it's from the calling from Elijah. Here we have Elisha with his 12 yoke of oxen. He wasn't that good, he was driving them all himself. He would have been 12 workers. He would have been the 12th worker. And in the morning, you can imagine the farmyard, the yokes went on. There would be two oxen in the yoke. And they would have driven them out in teams. Remember years ago in England, we used to see the Shire horses, didn't we, with the yoke put across the Shire horses. They had oxen. So it would have been a big farmyard in the morning. That morning was going to be a day that changed his life, but it probably started like any other morning. That's the amazing thing, isn't it? Any day we wake up can be a day God can meet with us. Could be a day when our lives change forever, that day. And we need to be in anticipation of what God can do. That day he woke up, he sent the other 11 men out first. It tells us there that he was with the last pair. He goes out with the last pair. He's ploughing away in the field. And along comes the man of God and he's in a hurry. Elijah seems to always be running somewhere. He was in a hurry, and it says these words. Then Elijah passed him by and threw his mantle on him. How do we know he was in a hurry? Because it then says, and about Elisha, he left the ox and ran after Elijah. So Elijah comes along to Elisha with a mantle. A mantle is like his robe, like a cloak. And he throws it on him. And it was a sign that you're going to get my anointing, that you're going to take my position. A mantle, a robe in that day, if you think back to the story of the prodigal son, the three things the prodigal son was given, one of them was the new robes of a son. He was re-given the robes of a son. It meant something. Elisha was in no doubt what it meant. It was put on him and Elijah went. Elijah didn't come to persuade Elisha to join him. He wasn't going to sit down and have a committee meeting with him and discuss the pros and cons. He wasn't going to discuss the salary. He wasn't going to discuss the financial package and the prospects for the future. He was saying, he was literally given the mantle. Elijah went in it. Basically, are you going to follow me? Are you going to follow what God wants to do in your life? Or are you going to sit down and discuss it to the point where the opportunity is gone? Elisha didn't. Elisha grabbed hold of the mantle. Yes. For such a time as this, as it says in the book of Esther, he grabbed hold of it and he ran. And he ran and he asked him, he left, notice he didn't just run, he left the oxen. He left what had brought him his living up to that point. He left the oxen and ran after the prophet. He grabbed hold of the prophet, he talked with the prophet, and the prophet says, he said, can I just go back and kiss my father and my mother? Notice this, he left. He wasn't, you know, sometimes we confuse this part of the story with the story out of the New Testament when somebody said, can I go and bury my father and mother? That man's father and mother weren't dead yet. He was basically saying, can I wait for a more convenient time? Elisha wasn't saying this. He said, I'm coming, but can I honour my father and mother whose house I'm about to leave? He goes back, and because he's not going to need them anymore, notice he says he kills two oxen and he burns the equipment that he used. He's never going to go back and plough a field again. He's now going to be a prophet of God. He's now going to serve under Elisha. So he goes back, he breaks up the plough, he creates a fire, he boils the meat, they have a feast and celebrate. He's going with God. As I was thinking about this, it reminded me of some of the disciples when Jesus came up to them, didn't he? He just said, follow me. And sometimes Jesus comes up to us and he's challenging us about things he wants us to do in our lives. And the Holy Spirit prompts us in our hearts. And he's not waiting for a discussion. He's saying, follow me. I'm going. Are you coming with me? I've got something for you to do. Are you coming with me? And we've got to be ready to go. We've got to be people who are willing to go. You know, in the New Testament, in Matthew, it says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. That was a challenge given. And I think today, more than ever, there's a challenge for us all to be ready. If God's going to do something, are we ready? Or are we going to sit back and discuss it to see if it's right, wrong, indifferent? Is it better for, is it to the point where it's gone? And we're playing catch up. And it's gone that far, we're going to really struggle to catch up with it. And I think in this lesson, one of the things we can learn from Elisha is that he was willing to go. He was ready and waiting for the call of God on his life. So he was going to go. Secondly, we'll learn something from the next story. In 2 Kings 2, 7 to 14, from the first story we learn that Elisha was ready to go. Notice at the end of that section he said he went and he served Elijah. Just an interesting point here. He served Elijah. He wasn't going to be the superstar. He was going to serve under the man of God. And in serving under the man of God, he learnt and he was imparted into the Holy Spirit. The things of God were imparted into him. So he could fulfill his destiny. But first of all, he went and he served under a man of God. Then it goes on to say in the next part of the story, I'll just read from verse 9. It goes on to say, and so it was when they had crossed over, Elijah said to Elisha, ask what I may do for you before I am taken away from you. They've come to the River Jordan. Elijah, the older man, has taken off his mantle again. This mantle crops up in the story a few times. He rolls it up and they're stood the wrong side of the River Jordan. The River Jordan is not a little stream. He stood the wrong side. He rolls his mantle up and he hits the water. Do you remember the story of Moses holding his cane? At this time, this Elijah hits the water. As he hits the water pulls back. and the land dries out, and they walk across on dry land. After they get across, Elijah, who's just done this amazing, God's done this amazing miracle through the dividing the Jordan, turns around to Elisha and says, "What can I give you? What can I give you? What is it you want in your life?" Interesting question, isn't it? God's saying that to us all, I believe. My belief is God says to us, "What is it you want in your life? What is it that I can put into your life that you want?" And he says here, he asked the question, and Elisha said, "Please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. Please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me." First of all, that can seem very arrogant, can't it? It can seem like he's saying, "I want to be twice the man you are. Only twice as good as you. I want to be superior to what you were." But listen to where the hearts come from. If you have a double portion, what do you have to have first? A single portion. There has to be somebody who has something for you to say, "I want twice as much of that." What was happening here, Elisha was going to build upon what Elijah had done in the nation of Israel. And he saw Elijah had all he needed from God to fulfill his task. But what Elisha was going to need to fulfill his task was a double portion. Because what God had started, he was going to carry on. And he was going to have even far greater things were going to happen. And a greater spiritual impact. And it wasn't from an arrogant position he asked that. What he was saying is, if I've got to build on what you've done, I'm going to need more than what you had to build upon what you've done. And that's what he was saying. And I just say, sometimes in Christian life, we look up to people and we say things like, "Oh, no one could ever attain to what he's done." And I want to say this respectfully. We need to build upon from generation to generation. We can look up to people, but not let's think we can never get where they go. Because if they've left a legacy, it's for us to build upon to go to another level with God and to go on another journey with God. It's to honour them correctly. It's to lift them up correctly. It's to say the right thing and honour them. But the best legacy, when I finally pop my clogs, whenever I want the next generation to build upon what I've done. I don't want to stay thinking, "Dave King did that," or "Dave King that, that's all we can do." No, you can do far more than I've done. If I've built it to this level, if God built it from my generation to that level, I hope the next generation go up here and go to another level with God. Learn the lessons we've learned and move on. And get deeper and closer to God. So that's what he was really saying. I want a double portion. I don't want to just go. I believe God wants to take me further than you've gone. Notice this. If we go into verse 13 and 14 of chapter 2, he says, "He also took up the mantle." Now, the chariots come. Elijah has gone off in a whirlwind. Notice the chariot came between the two to separate them. Otherwise, he might have got caught in the whirlwind if he hadn't separated. God's very practical, isn't he? Keep away, your time's not come. The whirlwind's coming for this one. And he went up in the whirlwind. Then he does this. In 13, he also took up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. Then he took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water and said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And when he had also had struck the water, it divided this way and that, and Elisha crossed over. Notice this. What was the last miracle Elijah did? Divide the water. Elisha with the double portion, what's the first miracle he did? Divide the water. He was starting from where Elijah had left off. He was building on. He was going further forward in things he would see in his lifetime. But what he would see in his lifetime would be far greater than what Elijah had seen. That's not discounting what Elijah had done. He was building upon it in the nation of Israel. He was bringing people closer and closer to God. So one was the calling. Two what do you want on your life? What do you want in your life? And what do you want on your life? And the third point, let's look at this other story we read from 2 Kings chapter 6. This amazing story. I love the stories of it. I must admit, Elisha's some of my favourite stories. I love this story. I love it for two reasons. They'll come out as we're talking. Let's read from verse 15 again, just to remind ourselves. And it says in this, in verse 15, "And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, 'Alas, my master, what shall we do?' So he answered, 'Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them.' And Elijah prayed and said, 'Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see.' Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha." First was the call. Second, for what he wants on him. Now look where he is in his life a number of years on. He's at a point in his life when he is prophesying continually to the king of Israel where the king of Syria is going to attack him. The king of Syria can't get near him. They can't win a battle. Now that is a massive way forward from where Elijah has started off from on Mount Carmel. They've moved on as a nation. Things are happening. It was the new prophet was there moving them on with his double portion. And he gets to this point where the king of Syria is saying, "I'm going to kill him. I've had enough of this." And he's going to get him. So he sends, notice how much he respected Elisha. He didn't just send his small crack team of SAS men in there. He sent a whole army for one man. The whole army comes and surrounds the town, the village. The servant gets up and says, "What is this? Is this the day we've had it?" But Elisha gets up, I knew I'd get that wrong again, Elisha gets up and stands there. Notice the key thing, Elisha has to pray for the servant to do what? To see, to open his eyes, to see what? To see what's happened spiritually. To see in the spiritual realm. The chariots of fire and the horses of fire from heaven have come en masse. Isn't no king going to ever overcome the chariots of heaven, the army of heaven? They're amassed. But the servant can't see. Elisha prays for him and he sees. Isn't that amazing? Suddenly his eyes are open. Wow! Where did they all come from? But you know what's more amazing? Elisha didn't need praying for. Elisha is in the. He's seriously in a major issue here. He's got a massive army hunting him and him only to kill him. But when he gets up, he looks out and he sees not just in the physical, he sees in the spiritual. Now, if we're ever going to see and be at the forefront of God doing amazing things in our lives, in our city, in our family, in our nation, in the world, we need to see in the physical and the spiritual. If we just see in the physical, we're going to see the things that come against us and we're going to give up. Or we're going to think we've had it. That's the same in our own practical lives, isn't it? There's many times when things happen in our families or happen around us and we just see the physical. And we go, oh. And we get down and we start to give up. What Elisha had learnt to do in God was to, and God had allowed him to do with his double portion, was to see the spiritual. No one prayed for him for that. He did it. God did it in him. And he could see it. He knew that day wasn't going to end with his death. He knew it was going to end with what had come against him being so pulled down that they never attacked the nation of Israel again. But he wasn't going to do it by slaughtering them all. What he did, he prayed and they all went blind. Then he went to them and said, "I'll lead you to where you should be going." Now they obviously could see where they should be going, but they couldn't see what was going on. He took them right into the heart of Samaria where the king was. The king of Israel wanted to kill them all. He thought, here's my chance for victory. No, feed them and send them home. In feeding them and send them home, they thought, we'll never touch them people again. There's something about those people. There's something about, we probably can't fully explain what's about them, but you just don't mess about with them people. And you know, the amazing thing is, when God's people hear a calling, when God's people ask for what they really need of God, and God's people follow that through and start seeing the spiritual and the physical, so they don't just plan. I'm not just talking about Mount Chapel, I'm talking general terms. When you plan with the spiritual and the physical there, so just because you can see that happening in the physical doesn't mean that that totally dictates your plan. You're planning in the spiritual as well. If God's doing this, I'm going to be ready for it. If God's going to do this, I'm going to be ready for it. And you're seeing in the spiritual body, and you plan that way, then God changes nations. He changed the nation that day. It started off with an army coming against that nation couldn't repel to kill its key prophet. And it ended on the same day with the prophet still alive and the other nation humiliated and sent away. Humbled, not humiliated, humbled and sent away. And what can we learn from Elisha? Learn these three things. Learn that we need to be going. God's calling people to go. He's calling people to go. What that means for individuals, that's up between God and the individual, but He calls us to go. He calls us and He says to us, you're going to go, what do you need? What do you want from me? And sometimes we rush around and we don't stop to think, what is it I need to ask God for? And I'm not just talking about, with greatest respect, I need some extra money for next week's bills. That's important, don't get me wrong, if you need that. But I'm not just talking about, I'm talking so much significant, seriously significant in your life. God's saying, what you need. What is it, if you're going to go, what is it you really need? Then we need to receive that. And then we need to learn to walk with God all the days of our lives. So wherever we are, whatever we're doing, we're not just seeing the physical, we're seeing in the spiritual. And we're learning to see the things that God's doing, and we're learning to hear the things that God's doing, so that we can respond quickly to them. And we're not caught out as Elisha would have been in this situation. And I just want to leave one story as an explanation. I mentioned before about this lady who was in debt. One of the major issues in our nation at the moment is debt. People get into debt, and it is in the States, it is in this country. It's an amazing story of Elisha. One of the prophets died, and if you want to ever read the story, which I advise you to, it's in 2 Kings chapter 4 verses 1 to 7. This lady's husband died and left her in debt to the point where she was going to have to sell her, the debt collector was going to come and take her children off her. It's a horrible situation. She was going to lose her children. She'd lost her husband, but now she was going to lose her children. That must have, when you think about it in the real, that must tear you apart. She goes to the prophet and she says, what can I do? And the prophet says this, what have you got? What have you got? And she says, I've got a jar of oil. A small jar of oil. He said, right, go and collect all the containers, all the jars you can get from all the neighbours. So she goes and collects all the jars, all the containers from her neighbours. She collects everything that she can. At some point she obviously stops, but she gets them in. Then he says to her, go into the house, lock the door with your twins, the two children, and start to pour from the oil you've got into these containers. And she starts to pour. Now she's using, remember this, she's using what she had. She's not waiting. She's not waiting for God to give her a delivery of the big tanker of oil. She's using what she had. She starts off with what she has had, and she starts to pour. And she fills that container up. And she starts to pour. And that one's filled up, and there's still some in. She starts to pour, and that one's filled up, and there's still some in. She pulls that one. And the children, what's happening is, it says the children are bringing her the containers. She's filling them, moving them, and the children bring her another one. She's filling them, moving. And the whole family is involved in a miracle. Isn't that great? mum and the children are involved. By why are they involved? Because they used what they had. They went to God, went to the prophet, said, what have you got? We've got a bit of oil. Use what you've got. When we use what we got, God gives the increase. If we just sit back and wait for it to land in our laps, it doesn't work like that. If we use what we've got, God will give the increase. So those three things again, go. Say what you need. We can learn from the story of Elisha. And then see. Ask God to let you see in the spiritual as well as in the physical. So you can see what He's doing at all times. Shall we pray? Father, I want to thank you for this amazing man of God who lived so many hundreds and hundreds of thousands of years ago, but who dealt with some of the issues we're dealing with even today. People who are in debt, people who lost relatives, people who had sickness like leprosy and he dealt with, people who had troubles in their country, people whose countries was falling apart. Father God, he looked to you and he spoke your words into people's lives. Father, we ask that you would raise people up in our country, more and more, who would speak directly into people's lives and the life of our nation. Father God, and the three things we can learn this morning from this, we ask that you will help us all to know how to go. In other words, to do what you want us to do every day of our lives. May we be people who really go for you. Father God, may we be people who ask you for those important things in our lives. Father, I just want to pray for this church this morning, that you will give this church a double portion of whatever you've given this church before. Father God, this generation in Mount Chapel would know you in a far deeper and a greater measure than anyone has done before, because they're building upon what has gone in the past. I pray that for this church, Father God, and I pray it for each and every church in our city. Father, I pray that you'll move through our city in a mighty way. And Father, we just pray as churches, as individuals, as church leaders across our city and our nation, that we would see in the physical and the spiritual, that we will be able to see what you are doing and work with you to bring your, to usher your kingdom in. Father, we really do pray that your kingdom will come and your will be done in Salford and in this nation as it is in heaven. In the name of Jesus, amen.
More of God than we did. And they'll experience God in a deeper way than we did. I'm jealous about that, but I do pray that that happens. And also keeping your spiritual eyes open, that's fantastic. You know, we look at Great Britain and it's in a mess, isn't it? You know, they hear the news, what a mess we're in Great Britain, really. Being knifed and stuff. And, we're at the bottom of the heap, really, and we desperately need a move of God in this land. We desperately need God to come to us, not just for the state of the country, but because we want to see God glorified. That's the main reason. So I just want to pray that as well. And I always to pray if God does move, that we'll have our spiritual eyes open and be hungry for it, and not reject whatever He wants to do, because it might not look like we want it to look. And if it's connected with this current revival in Florida, you know, I look at it sometimes and think, oh, I wish he wouldn't do that, and why does he do that, and who am I? You know, God's moving, who am I to say, well, I don't like that bit, and that bit's alright, and, you know, why don't you do it this way? How do I know what God wants to do? God wants to rattle our cages. Well, I say let him rattle our cages. And what's that verse in the Proverbs? You know, if you want a nice, tidy ox barn, don't put any ox in it. But they're nice and tidy, don't have anything in it. You know, there's no mess in the cemetery, is it? It's all the same every week. So, but where there's life, it might be messy. And where there's an ox in the barn, it could be messy. So I pray, God, come and do whatever you want. Whatever's from you, we want to welcome, Lord. Even if it doesn't fit in our boxes and in our lines. Even if it's outside of what we like. Father, above what we like, we love you. You're the greatest thing we know, and so we welcome you. We want you to come. We want you to visit our land. We want you to visit our churches. We want you to revive your people. We want your people to be passionate about you, Lord. So come with your Spirit and make us ready. Let us prepare the way, like John the Baptist was instructed. Prepare the way of the Lord. And Father, we want to be ready for you when you come. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Amen.